That's my desire this morning, that we would see Jesus and see Jesus only. Having a series of messages in the local congregation on the subject of Christ being in focus. People ask, why do you do what you do? Some people's response is, well, my church teaches, or this minister, or this fellowship. I'm interested in knowing what Christ wants us to do. And that is the reason why this morning that I do what I do.
Yes.
It's the reason. People say, yeah, but the church, do you know what? The church is a group of people with a common desire to follow Jesus Christ. And that only is what should bring us into fellowship one with another this morning. It's not because we are trying to perpetuate a tradition of men or something that some man started at some point in life. It is because Jesus Christ came to this world and He died on the cross to transform us. That as we allow Christ to work in our life, putting Him first, that it brings us into unity, that we would be living in a way that would please Jesus Christ. So may the Lord help us, as the song said, may we see Jesus this morning, and may we see Him only. There are a lot of voices in the world this morning. There are a lot of people and groups and churches and organizations and ministries that are calling for people to follow them. And sometimes it can get confusing. Sometimes people begin to say, what's right? In what direction am I supposed to go? I have no personal problem this morning encouraging you to close your ears to everybody else and open up your heart fully to God and His Word and say, Lord, how do You want me to live? Where do You want me to go? Because anything that we do in our life and the decisions that we make should be bringing us into a closer relationship with God. But when we start listening to other voices, Renee was telling me, we were talking on the way to service this morning, just this week, in the last couple weeks, there's a minister that was telling people, you are sinners. I am thankful this morning to report, by the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm not a sinner anymore. I used to be a sinner, but now I've been saved and radically changed in my life because of the price that Jesus paid. But yet the religious world is saying, just accept Christ, but continue on in your sin. Jesus came to do for us what the blood of bulls and of goats could not do. And He came to not only forgive us of our sin, He came to deliver us from the very power of sin, thank God. Because the reality is this, if it weren't for the blood of Jesus this morning, I would be a thief. I'd be a liar, I'd be an adulterer, I'd be all of those things that break relationship with God. But because of His blood, we can come together and say, thank You, Lord, for what You did. People say, now, why are you living that way? Who was it that taught you that? I want to go back to the Word of God and know there is a reason why we live like we do. And it's based on the Word. But the Word, this Word is an expression and paints us a picture of Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the Word of God. In 1569, there was a man by the name of Dirk Willems, and he was in Holland, and he was a follower of Jesus Christ. And he was, and those that know your history, he was an Anabaptist. And do you know that's really changed a lot of people that profess that today? They're not going back to what the roots of that truth was. In the 1500s, it was still the practice in the Catholic Church that you baptize infants when they're born. But then people begin to get light in understanding of a believer's baptism. You're baptized after you have been saved and converted, and water baptism was a testimony of what God had done in your life. And obviously the Catholic Church, as well as many Protestants, reformers, were opposed to that doctrinal truth. Well, The scripture teaches a believer's baptism, doesn't it? Repent and be baptized. He never said baptize your children when they're born, but after you have accepted Christ, the scripture teaches us to be baptized. So this man, Dirk, accepted that truth and he was baptized. He was baptized in a river there as well as some of his household. And so he was arrested and put into prison because of his faith. So one day, and it was winter time, and he was literally about being starved. They were not feeding him much. He lost a lot of weight. And one day he was able to escape out of his jail cell. And he took off. And as he was crossing a river or a lake, and it was frozen over, and he was going across it, and his prison guard was chasing him. And he looked back, and the guard fell through the ice in that lake, and he started to drown. Now, Dirk professed to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You know what it means to be a Christian this morning? What does it mean? What does the word Christian mean? Like Christ. And so he turned around at the expense of his liberty, and he went back. And he rescued his guard. And he was rearrested, and shortly thereafter, he was burned at the stake. Now, let me ask us this morning, why would a man do that for his enemy? Why would a man that had thought, I can escape here, why would he turn back knowing that death was imminent for him to turn around and help this man who had kept him in prison? You know the reason was because of his love for God? You see, the scripture says, although we give our body to be burned and have not charity, it what? It profiteth us nothing. We can go through a lot of and have a lot of good things in our life. We can pray and we can read the Bible and we can go to church and we can give money and we can do a lot of good things. But if it's not motivated by the love of God, it profits us nothing this morning. And if we are doing something to adhere to a set of rules and regulations, and you are living in a way this morning because my church teaches it, it's not going to get you there. It's not good enough this morning. And it might be, well, the church of God and these people that say they're living right and they say they have the truth. We only have to offer what Jesus Christ has to offer. And if you hear me or Brother Ivan or anybody else preach anything that is contrary to the Word of God, stop your ears and run for your life. But yet on the other side of it, if we preach truth and it's from the Word of God, and when you follow it, it gets you closer to Jesus, then we need to be willing to say, Lord, I'm going to put you first because I want to be a Christian. I want to be like Christ. I want to follow Him. That is why Dirk Williams, he turned around to go back because he was a Christian. This morning in the decisions that we have to make in our life, can we ask, and the song is in our book, we sing the song, what would Jesus do? What, oh, what would Jesus do? When you're tempted, do what? Stop and think. What would Jesus do? You see, we can debate all, and I know we've been talking about this for a month now, but we can debate and we can argue and we can discuss righteously. We can discuss all these hot button issues. Well, this one says this is wrong and this one says you can't do this. And they say you can. Listen, we have the choice to live how we want to live. No minister in the church of God, and if they are, they're not true minister, is going to come and twist your arm and force you to do something because the Lord didn't do it. The Lord is interested in a people who of their own volition, their own free will, that, Lord, I love you and I want to follow Jesus. So then when I don't know what to do and I hear a voice saying it's okay here and the world's pulling me this direction, that I can come back and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Okay, what would Jesus do in this place? What would the Lord do? The Lord left us a way of humility. He left us a way of love. He left us a way of righteousness and holiness. And if we are truly Christians this morning, then our decision is going to be based on what would Jesus do. And so he was burned at the stake, and the wind was blowing when Dirk was there on the stake. The wind was blowing, and it was a slow, agonizing death because it didn't just burn him up quickly. The wind was blowing those flames different directions. And history says that people could hear him from a long way off calling, they said, over 70 times, saying, "Oh, my Lord and my God," knowing that that was going to happen. Why would someone do that? Why would someone go against the way that the world is going when people of the world look on and say, "You're foolish in doing that"? Why would people say, "Well, just tell a little lie. It's a little lie. Just tell a lie"? Why would people say, "I'm not going to lie"? Why would we stand up and be different? Why would we make decisions that are going to isolate to an extent us from the direction the world's going? You know, the reason that's acceptable to God is when we say, "Lord, I want to follow in your steps." And that's the reason we live. That's the reason we should have the attitudes we have. That's the reason why we should dress like if we're going to follow the scripture. It's the reason why we should have the love in our heart for our enemies. It's the reason why we should turn our cheek when our enemy mistreats us, and we should be there to help him out anyway. Why is that? It doesn't make sense in the flesh. But if we are Christians this morning, that's the reason why we do what we do. Because we want to follow in the steps of Jesus. So, where's our devotion? You know, I've seen people so devoted to a group of people that they follow this group blindly in whatever they say and do. Because I'm part of this group. So if Brother Ivan doesn't, Brother Randy do it, then I'm part of them, so I'll do it too. But do you know there's nothing noble in that? Because if the group goes astray, where's it going to leave me? If my allegiance is to a group, I've seen people, they focus their spiritual life based on family members. Well, this is the influence of my family, and so I'm going to just kind of go along with my family. Some have done that with certain ministries. They get so, their allegiance is on this minister. And whatever brother so-and-so says, I'm going to do it. And there, it's not just esteem, it becomes worship. Do you realize Paul and Barnabas ripped and tore their clothes and they said, "Joe, we're men of like passion, just like you are. Don't worship us, but get your eyes on who? On Jesus." Well, I've also seen this happen with race. I've seen people's allegiance to race, and because I'm white or I'm black or I'm brown or I'm from this country, and so whatever direction they go or this group goes, that's going to sway me in what decisions I make in life. Do you realize that we are bound together this morning not because of a common family? Right. We're not bound because of a common church history. We are not bound because we're of a certain color or race or the same country this morning. We should be bound together because of the same desire. I want to see Jesus, and I want to please the Lord more than anything else in my life. If it is not our desire to please God, then we probably should stop calling ourselves a Christian. It would be so much better for us just to say, "I'm not a Christian," than to profess to be Christians, living after our own way and the traditions of men that are vain and empty, that do not bring the anointing of God. But when we get our eyes and say, "Lord, I want to follow you. I want to serve you, Jesus." Turn with me, if you will, and this is where we left off last Sunday in the book of 1 Peter in the 2nd chapter, in the 21st verse. He said, "For even hereunto were you called." You've been called this morning. We've been called. "Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Whose steps are we following this morning? Do you know it's a landmine out there?
Yes, it is.
There are so many religious influences. There are so many, I'm sure all of us have family members that are of a different faith. right? And everybody says they're right. How many times have you had discussion with people and say, well, they say they're right, and they say they're right. So then does that mean that nobody's right? Just because most people are wrong, does that mean everybody's wrong? I want to get back in the Word of God. I want to get my eyes on Jesus. But if my heart is questioning things because I want to get as close to the world as I can go, you might as well just acknowledge I'm not a Christian. I want to go the way of the world. And you have the right to do that. You don't have to dress modestly this morning. You don't have to forgive your enemy. You can go lie if you want. You can steal. Now, there's repercussions to it, but you have that choice. But if our purpose is that, Lord, I want to serve you, then this and this alone is our creed and our rule of faith. Because this tells us what Jesus wants us to do. And that means that in every single decision, are we willing with an honest heart this morning? The things that all of us struggle. And if you're struggling this morning, you're not alone. If there are things that you're just are confusing and I don't understand, you're not the first one to be there and you won't be the last. But the answer is coming back to the place that I say, Lord, I want to please you. And when that cuts across my flesh and it's like, Michael, no, this isn't what's good for you. But I like that. But Lord, I love you more. I love the Lord more than my likes. I love the Lord more than my preferences. I love the Lord in his way more than my own thinking and my own opinions. But too many times people are getting caught up in bondage to the voice of the world. They're getting caught up in the religious bondage of the world. Do you know in the church of God, and you may say, oh, the church of God, you're talking about your group. No, I'm not talking about my group. I'm talking about the church of God, God's group. This is what we're talking about because that's scriptural. If you want to, I love it when, especially in other countries, driving down, people say, where are you from? What church? It's like, well, open up your Bible. Yes. That group where it says to the church of God, I said, that's a group I'm with. I don't have to say, well, we had this meeting and founded this group back in 140 years ago. No. I want to go back and I say, you know who the founder of the Church of God is? It's Jesus Christ. And what brings us into the body of Christ? The blood of Jesus. It's not getting our names in a membership book. And someone says, yeah, well, who has rule over you? The Holy Spirit. And you say, well, you just have people have to come in under the ministry. No, you don't. How well are you coming under the ministry anyway? I mean, how often have we been asked that question? Are you doing everything that's taught and preached? I can answer that one for you. But do you know what? It's not about what I say. It's about you and God this morning. It's about our personal relationship that when the Word of God is preached, you're not now accountable to the minister, even though the minister is accountable to what he preached to God. And if the minister fails to preach the truth out of fear of the people, your blood is on the minister's hands. And the ministry is going to give account before God when they have compromised truth to make the people comfortable. But yet, when our heart is to please God and we say, Lord, maybe I got off a little here, but Lord, I want to come back and I want to keep you in focus. Do you realize that this is the best way to live? Because it's not bondage. The family of God is not about, I can't do this, but I can live without sinning by the grace of God. I can live a life of humility because it's what brings peace to me. I don't have to be driven this morning by what you're doing and what that person's doing, but I'm driven with a motivation that, Lord, I want to please you in my life. And so we've been called to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do this morning. So how are we doing? How are we doing to follow in his steps? And then the scripture goes on to begin to tell us what it means to follow his example. He said he did no sin. Do you know that the largest percent of Christian churches in America today are teaching that you can follow Christ and be a sinner? That's not what I read in my Bible. I read in my Bible that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I'm not dabbling in sin anymore because there is a power that was greater than me. There is a power that's greater than the enemy. Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of who? The works of the devil. He came to destroy them. But what many churches, they're dabbling with sin. And the ministers are dabbling in sin. I had a minister where we used to pastor in Shawnee. He was preaching in his group, and he was doing something that clearly violated the scripture. But he got up, and this was his reasoning to the congregation. He said, "The Holy Spirit told me that he wasn't going to hold that on me." The Holy Spirit will always agree with the Word. And when you say, "Well, I just don't get it," but do you know what the Word says? I don't have to understand it all, but if I know it teaches me to do something, then Lord, I'm going to do it until I understand it. I want to follow you even if I don't know why the Lord's going this direction. And it seems like, Lord, shouldn't we go that? It's like, if the Lord's leading this way, I'm going to follow Him. Because I said, there's a landmine out there. And you know when you're crossing a landmine, do you know what you do? That someone that knows the way across where there's these bombs, there's these mines in the ground, you watch someone and follow their example because they know where the mines are at. So if you see them step to the right, you follow them exactly where they step. Are we willing to do that with Christ this morning? You say, "Well, I'm working out my own salvation." But do you know how he said to do that? With fear and trembling. Working out our salvation means it's personal, but it doesn't mean it's a free-for-all to do whatever I want to do. It means that, Lord, I want to get my eyes on you, and I want to follow Jesus. And if I don't know what to do, and the world is saying, "Oh, do this." I'll tell you, when my children used to come and ask to do something, say, "You know, I'm not sure it's a real good idea." And they said, "But everybody's doing it." Wrong answer to a parent that wants to serve the Lord. Children, just take note of, well, everybody's doing it. That's a good reason not to do it then. And when people or children have grown up hearing truth, and they say, "Well, I want to be my own man or my own woman." Oh, you just want to go with the majority then. Because people that follow in the steps of Jesus are in the minority. It's a mixed up logic. That's all I can say. It's a mixed up logic when people say, "I just want to do it my own way." No, you want to do it the way of the world. That's not your own, that's the way of the world, or you can choose Christ. So Christ, it said, he left us an example, and he did no sin. To him that knoweth to do what? Good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We all make mistakes. We are all human. There are places in all of our lives the Lord's wanting to perfect us. But our hearts and our purpose is that, Lord, I want to please you. So if I mess up, and it's like I didn't have the grace I should have there. Lord, I wasn't as patient as I should have been. Or, Lord, I should have handled that differently. The child of God is going to acknowledge their weaknesses and say, "Lord, but my heart's to please you." So I'm not going to excuse it. I'm not going to justify it. But I'm going to say, "Lord, I want to please you, and I'm sorry I failed there. I'm sorry I let down there. Lord, would you help me?" And the Lord is there as a gentle, loving shepherd to guide us and direct us. And if we stumble, he's there to love us and to brush us off and say, "Keep going and don't give up." But why do we do what we do? Mom and dad? The church? The group? A ministry? Or have you found that personal revelation of Jesus Christ? That's why the church of God does what they do. I've heard a lot of people talk bad about the church of God. But you know what? You know whose church they're talking bad about? It's God's. It's not the church of man. It's not the church of Michael. It's not church Brother Ivan. It's not the church of D.S. Warner. This is the church of God. And the emphasis is on God, not church. So then when people start talking about, yes, people make mistakes. And you know what? In any multitude of people, there are going to be hypocrites. There are going to be people that will hurt you intentionally and unintentionally. There will be people that do things. There will be self-righteous people. There will be worldly people that, because there wasn't the time of Christ. A mixed multitude followed him, and yet there were a few that said, Lord, we will go with you whithersoever thou goest. Whatever the price, whatever the cost, in spite of what this one is doing and that one, Lord Jesus, we're going to follow you. The Lord is looking for people like that here this morning. And it goes beyond the group. It goes down to your walk with Jesus Christ. So regardless of what everybody else does in this room this morning, you can be in God's church when you are following him with all of your heart. Lord, I love you and my purpose is to please you. So he did no sin. Because the scripture in 1 John 2:6 says that he that saith he abideth in him, if we say we abide in Christ, it said he ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Do you know the world has a wrong understanding of Christianity? I was on a plane, and I was probably the only one, if not the only American on the plane. And almost everyone on there was Muslim. And I was sitting by a man, and we started a discussion. We were on our way to a Muslim country, and I knew I had to be pretty careful about what I said. But we got in a discussion, and he told me, he said, you know, the United States, he started pointing out all of the immorality, because the United States is a Christian nation, so-called, right? I mean, people still say that. But remember what Jesus said, if you say you are going to have me in you, you ought to be walking like I walk. Is our country walking after the ways of Christ? No, not at all. And the man said, so he talked about the immorality and the immodesty and the entertainment. And that was, it's like, that's what Christianity is. He said, this isn't right. That's, and I said, you know what? You're correct. I said, but let me tell you, this is what the Bible says. This is what it means to really follow Christ. And this man was educated. And he sat there and listened to me. He said, I have never heard that before. He talked about all the immorality, immodesty. Do you know what? That's not the child of God. That's right. I said, true Christians don't do those things. I said, because the Bible teaches against it, but it teaches something better. It's not just against, it teaches us a better way of living, where a heart is to please God, walking in humility. If what is motivating our decisions is pride this morning, it's not from God. Right. If the changes we want to make in our lives are getting us closer to the world and not closer to God, just call it for what it is. Let's not just cover it up and try to justify it and put spiritual language on it that I have more understanding. No, if we're going to make changes and it's bringing us closer to God, then tell me what you're doing because I want to do it too. But if it's going to get you further away from Jesus Christ, it's not then about a group. It's about your relationship that, Lord, this is interfering in my walk with you. When I go to these places, and when I listen to that, and when I watch that, and I wear that, and I act like that, I don't feel the peace of God, then learn from that and make changes that enable us to follow Jesus more closely. You know, when you're following someone in a very busy city, and all I can think about is when we were in Juarez, Ciudad Juarez, and we were following Brother Tony Sanchez somewhere. And in Mexico, there's lots of turns and lots of traffic, and you just need to stay on your toes, so to speak. And you know, most people don't like being tailgated, right? It's like, you know, in the flesh, you want to slam on your brakes. Back off a little bit. But do you know, when you're in a place that you don't know where you're going, and traffic is slipping in between you, what do you want to get up as close as you can, don't you? And I did that in Mexico. It's like, I don't want to lose my way because I don't know where I'm going. So, and you even push the lights sometimes because I don't want to lose them. Yes. Do you know it's all right to tailgate Jesus this morning? I want to stay as close to him as I can because the enemy's trying to get in between us. The enemy is trying to interfere with things to cause us to lose our way. So let's be challenged this morning to get as close to Jesus as we can. Let's get as close to him as we can. He said he did no sin. He said neither was guile found in his mouth. There was no deceit. There was no hypocrisy. He was who he said he was. Do you know that's what true children of God are? They are who they say they are. And you say, yes, but you know so-and-so, they said they were a Christian. They even preached and they testified and they led the singing. And then you find out what was going on in their personal life. That's really sad, but that doesn't change the truth.
That's right.
That's sad and it's disappointing, but it doesn't change reality that we're still supposed to live without hypocrisy. We're still supposed to be driven, motivated by a heart of love. So it said there was, he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, what did he do? He reviled not again. He didn't get in a shouting match. He didn't get in a place he was retaliating because they did this, so I'm going to do that. You know, there's no way to justify that kind of behavior spiritually. Jesus forgave. Father, forgive him. You're going to be hurt.
Yes.
Are we going to allow our hurts to cause us to deviate from following Christ? Or can we say, Lord, I'm really struggling. I'm really hurting. I've been there more than once.
Yes.
And I could have lost my way. But the Lord helped me to see there was something more valuable.
Yes. Yes.
And to come and say, Lord, I'm really struggling here. I need some help. And the Lord came in and divinely, I remember multiple times, it would have been so much easier in the flesh say, I'm walking away. Because people walk away when they get hurt sometimes.
Yes.
And to come back and say, Lord, I'm not serving you because of them. I'm serving you because I love you. So, Lord, I need you to help me. Help me to forgive. Lord, give me a right spirit where I see some bitterness. Lord, give me the right spirit where I've been holding on to something you want me to let go of. Do you realize there is a joy and a peace and a victory when it comes back down to the place we say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. And I want to live as close as I can. It said, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Just briefly, Jesus was a man that he went about doing good, didn't he? Do you know that's what it means to be a Christian?
Yes.
I've doing good for people in need. And it wasn't about because they deserved it. It was about they're hungry, give them something to eat. Well, are they saved? Well, I'm thankful the Lord didn't just say, are you saved? I'll give you the loaves and fishes. Are you following me? No, he went out to everybody because he was moved by the needs of people's lives. So he went about doing good. And he, do you know, Jesus had a level of judgment in his life as well. A lot of the New Testament in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it is about Christ's reproof to the Pharisees. And people that are wanting to get away from God, one of their favorite scriptures is, the scripture says, judge not. Well, let's go back and read the context. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye meet, it shall be met to you again. Jesus taught us to judge righteous judgment. If we do not have judgments in our life, we are going to be giving in to a whole lot of things that aren't right in our life. We need to have a level of judgment in our life. Now, that does not mean self-righteously. You know, it's the self-righteous that kind of go around looking down their spiritual nose. And you know, most of us here probably felt that from people before. If we're, just be real here. If people that just act like I am up here spiritually and you're down here and they let you know it. That's not what the Lord did. But even with those that were in sin, it was his judgment against the sin, but he loved the sinner. His arms were open to the sinner. He didn't push them away. I would that the room were full of sinners this morning because there's no better place for them to be. And so when people come in and say, well, look how they are. Well, thank God they're here. But let the word of God go to draw us to him. Not self-righteously, because if it weren't for the grace of God, do you know where all of us would be? I've shared this before, and we're going to conclude here shortly, but I've shared this years ago, but I remember one time, and I remember the store we were in. You know that, I think they're still open maybe. Is it Half and Half, the clothing store? I remember we were in Tulsa, and we were between service, half-half, whatever it is. Yeah, we were in a clothing store. So Renee and I was a new minister. I hadn't been preaching that long. We were in Sepulpa. And so we'd gone to the store, and there were a couple of guys in there, and they were shopping for women's clothing. And I remember distinctly one of them said, oh, this isn't me. And the other one said, you're not trying to be you. And I remember the revulsion that I felt. This is the world in which we live. And shortly thereafter, we were in JCPenney's and the same thing happened again. And I made a little snide remark to my wife. And I'll tell you, the Lord chastised me greatly. He chastised me greatly because we could say from one standpoint, that lifestyle, it's wrong, it's contrary to nature, and it's sinful, and it is. But do you know what? Jesus died for them, and He loved them, and we are called to have the same love of them, because if it weren't for the grace of God, where would we be? Adulterers, fornicators, liars, and thieves, and everything else. So it's by the grace of God. So when we go out to the world with a message, it's there is a Savior that loves you and accepts you, but His love will elevate us and raise us out of the sin that had us in bondage. We have no business being self-righteousness. Accept your righteousness. Exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter in. So people say, well, we don't want to be self-righteous, so let all standards go. Just let them go. Folks, if we fail to have some judgments in our life according to righteousness, we will end up the way of the world. I want to stay as close to Jesus Christ as I can. May the Lord help us. And in everything that we do, and it was brought out in Sunday school, it's been brought out in some of the previous teachings in this series, that everything we do must be motivated because of love. And if you're doing it because of bondage, I'm sorry for you.
That's right.
But I want you to know, don't blame the church. Is it all right to say that this morning? Don't blame the church. Don't blame the ministry. You deal with God, because when your heart is willing to accept truth, there's going to be this openness that, Lord, I've been confused and I don't know where to turn and I'm being pulled all directions. Lord, here I am. I just want to follow you. Help me to know where to go. And Lord, I do it because I love you. So when people come along and say, why do you all do that? Or why don't you do that? Because I love Jesus.
Yes.
And I'm trying to please Him. And I make mistakes sometimes. And you all have mercy on me when I do. But I want to please my Lord.
Yes.
And so that's why we do what we do this morning. Because we want to follow in His steps. And the Scripture said all. He said, ye were as sheep going astray. We are going our own direction. We are going our own way. But He said, but now are returned unto the bishop of your souls. Isn't that beautiful this morning, that I was going astray and the Lord looked down and He loved me and He went looking for me and He brought me back into the fold. So in closing this morning, John 10, very familiar passage. He said, John chapter 10, verse 1 to 5, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out, and he putteth forth his own sheep. He goeth before them. Jesus, He goes before them, and it says, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. So who are you following this morning? What voices are you listening to? Jesus is the chief shepherd, and He's there, and He knows us by name this morning.
Yes,
do you know, even when I've in the middle of a Michael mess, have you ever been one of your own messes?
Yes.
It has brought so much comfort for the Lord to come along and call me by name.
Yes.
I love you. This is the way. That's Jesus. I'm getting kind of messed up with my own thoughts and my own thinking, my own emotions, and this one and that one. But when Jesus calls my name, I know His voice, and I can follow Him. And that is the call for each and every one of us this morning. That is the identity of God's people. It's their love for God and for one another. And it is because our focus is on Christ and His way and His righteousness and His holiness. Amen.